Welcome to Comics,
episode
254.
This week, we talk about
Assassination Classroom.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast review. Resale value went up.
Yeah, keeps going up.
Oh dang! Maybe if it gets high enough, you can put a little Bella through college.
I don't think I'm going to put my daughter through college based on my statue collection, because I wouldn't sell it.
Maybe you wouldn't sell it. It would be like a bajillion dollars. It's like, look at this relic from Mass Effect.
A bajillion dollars.
No, my
bajillion dollars.
My daughter will have to get by through college without me selling Liara.
Bojillion.
It's like Bojangles, but rich.
Bojillion dollars.
What's up, David?
What's up,
what
bro?
Up, buddy?
Oh, hey, yeah. What's up, dog? This is gonna be a good show. Because Jen's not here.
Yeah, we could
say things. That's a little rude, bro.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either.
Oh, there's some sexist thing to say about no women, no problems, but I don't know. I'm not sexist. I'm not actually sexist enough.
You could just sing that Bob Marley song.
Which one?
No Woman, No Cry.
Oh, yeah. See, I was...
No Woman, No Cry.
I'm not sexist enough to know that off the top of my head like you.
Yes, that's exactly why I know that song.
Learning new things about you every day, David.
So, what's been going on anyway? I don't even know for the witty banter.
Oh, what's new?
Rogue One trailer? Have we talked about the Rogue One trailer? Because that's sick as fuck.
No. That was pretty badass.
Sick as fuck.
I'm pretty excited about this because maybe even more than I was for episode 7, because it's like, it's not like any Star Wars movie we've seen before.
Yeah.
I hope there's no good Force users. The only like Force user I would accept in that movie is Darth Vader and the Emperor too.
Well,
I really can say I hope it's like about the rebels, like the actual soldiers, and not no Skywalkers or Solos.
I mean, that's the promise they've made, right? Like this is the Star Wars like heist movie. It's about like they said like this is a movie not about the Jedi. This is about like. This is just about people in the universe and how you get by in the world of Star Wars without having fucking superpowers.
Right, right. But you know how, like, in the old EU, like, everyone and their mom was Force sensitive?
Yeah, including R5-D4, really... the fucking robot.
That's the worst
example. The robot using the Force.
So I really hope there's, like, that they just have to get by... Can you hear that?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, but I'm excited because I'm hopeful that it'll be kind of like the Clone Trooper episodes of the Clone Wars TV show, because the Clone Wars TV show is good. But man, if you watch just the Clone Trooper episodes, like with Fives and Echo and Domino Squad from the chronological beginning of the team to the end of the series, like that's such a good story, and there's no Force powers in that. The only time you see anybody with a Force power is when Anakin Skywalker, the general of that battalion, shows up. But he's not, like, a main piece of that storyline. He's just there because he's near them when all this stuff happens. Like, but it's such a good story to follow, and I'm excited that, like, we can maybe get something like that, anywhere near something like that, in an actual movie. that people will get excited about who aren't just fucking nerds.
For sure. What else happened? Oh, I watched Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah. How was it? I still haven't watched it. I'll watch it on Netflix. It's not
great. Like, it's okay. No. Like, they just... It's like... You know how in the Marvel movies, they kind of tease the next movies a little bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Batman vs. Superman, they were like... There's definitely going to be a Justice League movie. Look at all these things that are Justice League. They like beat you over the head with it.
So it's kind of like a trailer for the next movies.
Yeah. 2 hour long. It's a really long trailer. The best part was towards the end when, so like Wonder Woman or Diana Prince is in it every once in a while. Like she shows up at places where Bruce Wayne is. And then there's a part where when they do the final battle, and she shows up as Wonder Woman, and that's like the most badass part of the movie. Look, I don't think I think the acting was fine. It was just a spectacle. Like all these explosions and fights and stuff happened, but like nothing really happened. It's that kind of thing.
I mean, just watching the trailer, it just looks like the wrong tone to me. And I mean, I know I'm judging a book by less than its cover by like saying the trailer looks wrong, but that's not what I enjoy about comics. Like that gritty realism. If I want that, I'm not going to read a Cape story, and I'm certainly not going to read Superman. You know,
I mean, the thing is, like, there are gritty Batman stories that are good, like Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah,
but Batman,
that's what this Batman's supposed to be modeled on.
But it's like they turned it up a notch. Like
they turned Mark Miller up a notch.
It's Frank Miller. This is a little bit of a spoiler. It's not really relevant to the story.
Spoiler.
But Batman's like it's like a car chase scene, and he forces the bad guy's car to crash, and then he uses his like grappling hook attached to the Batmobile to drag this car, the bad guy's car. So there's still people in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he like drags it along, and it's like banging into stuff, and then he makes it land on top of another car full of bad guys. So he pretty much like kills 8 people on purpose. Like, and all his vehicles have machine guns,
which makes no sense. Isn't the point of Batman that he doesn't like using guns?
Yeah.
So there's a whole scene like this is the tool of the enemy and we will not use it. Like I specifically remember a frame where he says that somewhere.
Yeah, so he the Batmobile has a machine gun, and the Batwing has machine guns.
I mean, okay.
And he shoots them at people.
I mean, I like reinterpretations of characters, you know, and like if you're going to make a Batman-Superman movie, there have been so many Superman movies, so many Batman movies, and so many awesome comics. There's tons and tons of these stories that already exist, and if there's something specific you're looking for, you can probably go find it. And I would appreciate like a reimagining of these characters, a new story. Like the idea that they're throwing away some canon and doing something new is not something I'm against. It's just like... The way this story looks does not look like something I want to watch. It has nothing to do with like, oh, it's not Superman the way Superman's supposed to be, and it's not Batman the way Batman's supposed to be. It's just I don't want to interact with these characters this way. And I mean, there's probably an audience who does, and I appreciate that they're trying to do something new with characters, but it seems it's not something I want to watch, and from what I'm hearing from a lot of people, it just seems mostly ill-timed. Especially because this kind of movie, I think, would have succeeded before Iron Man was made. Because Iron Man showed, like, viewing audience that you can put some grain of realism in a comic book movie and still have it feel wild and free and badass and fun. You know? Like, yes, he gets captured by terrorists, and yes, that Bart gets gritty and sucks, and yes, in one of the movies he deals with alcoholism, but he's still billionaire, playboy, philanthropist Tony Stark. You know? Right. And after these Marvel movies, you're like, oh, okay, It doesn't have to be Superman in the Battlestar Galactica universe. Like, you can have fun and serious superhero movies, and I feel like this movie feels just like 10 years too old already.
Well, and then the thing too, like, man, like, they weren't even subtle about the previews for the next the Justice League stuff. I'm just gonna spoil it. Okay. There's a part where Batman steals files from Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
And Lex has a folder. He has a folder with videos of Cyborg, Flash, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman. He just has the video.
Okay.
And so there is a scene where Bruce Wayne clicks on the video and we watch each video.
And that really is just a big trailer for the next
movie. And then Batman has a dream. So it's in the trailer where Batman's like fighting in the desert and he has like a duster on over his Batman costume. Do you remember that part in the trailer?
Yes.
So that is a dream sequence, okay? It's a dream sequence. And in the dream, okay? In the dream, Superman has like taken over the world. And there's a part where Batman looks out over across the desert to like a wrecked city, and the desert has a giant fucking Omega symbol on the ground.
Ooh. That'll be
okay, and then
that'll be Darkseid.
Yeah. And then there are parademons fighting alongside Superman.
I really want to see Darkseid, though, and I really do like Darkseid as a villain.
Well, so here's the thing.
But I don't know if this world, the way they're establishing it, is one that I'm interested in. Unless they bring in Flash from, like, the TV show, because I'm down with that.
It's a different actor.
Oh, no! Well, it's ruined.
Although Grant Gustin, the guy who plays Flash on the TV show, apparently met the actor for who's playing it in the movies, and, like, he thinks he'd be a good Flash, so... I don't know.
I
thought Gal Gadot was really good as Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's good. Where she was fighting alongside Batman and Superman against Wonder Woman, she's pretty... Or against Dark Doomsday... She's pretty badass.
And I mean, I feel like that's also nowadays one that they have to nail. You know, like Wonder Woman cannot be done poorly and Wonder Woman's movie cannot suck because feminism in superhero comics is a big thing right now. And if you fuck that up, the fans are just going to tear you apart and there's no way.
where she was Diana Prince interacting with Bruce Wayne, she was like, you know, the characters, like, she really like stepped up to Bruce Wayne and like shut him down and stuff. He thought he was being all slick and stuff, and she was like,
nope. Good. Good.
So we'll see what happens.
I mean, I'll watch movie, it on Netflix.
It's like, yeah, it's worth viewing. I hope that whatever comes after this is good. But man.
Hey,
I don't know.
If you want to watch something good, Alex and I just finished watching Tiger and Bunny earlier today. Every day we meet for lunch and we watch an episode of something. And we just finished Tiger and Bunny.
I had watched the first couple episodes of that.
Tiger and Bunny is fantastic.
I need to finish watching it.
You should.
So the premise, if I know you've heard of it, David, but if we have listeners who haven't heard of it, the premise is there's superheroes and they compete for points. So like if you save a person, you get points. If you apprehend the criminal, you get points. And it's all broadcast live to the city, and it's broadcast over something called Hero TV, right? And because like they're all competing for points, they also have sponsors. So like the main characters are sponsored by Amazon, SoftBank, Figu Arts, Gyukaku, the restaurant, one of them sponsored by, they all have these sponsors, Calbee.
There's Pepsi Next.
Yes, Pepsi Next, she's awesome. So all the heroes are sponsored, and it's like this corporate sponsored, like, televised kind of superheroism thing, and it sounds like it. The premise and the way it sounds like it'd be some like crappy like commentary on, you know, like anti-corporate establishment and how it ruins justice or whatever. And that kind of comes in near the end a little bit if you really want to analyze it a whole lot. But mostly, it's just really fun. It's just a really fun show. We still got to watch the movie, though.
Oh, there's also
both movies.
There's also another anime that's come out recently. It started the beginning a few weeks ago, actually. So it's called My Superhero Academia, and it's like apparently people who are fans of One Punch Man will like this.
Okay.
And it's actually so it was a manga that came out. I think it started in 2014 or something, and it's about like Western style superheroes, and it's like the main character goes to a school to be trained as a superhero.
You know, I would want to watch that just because I would want to watch that or read that manga just because I've realized that there's not really, in anime, there's not many heroes that are like Western-style heroes.
Yeah, so that's what's, you know, one of the interesting things about it. So, yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page now. So, yeah, it was originally published in Shonen Jump. The TV show started on April 3rd, so... Well,
the manga's just a few months old. Wow, this is brand new.
Yeah. So, apparently it's supposed to be pretty good. I haven't watched any of it yet, but it's up on my list now to watch. So, oh, and apparently the main character doesn't have superheroes, which is not the... That's not the norm. I guess like powers are pretty normal in this world. Okay.
All right. Do you guys want to talk about this week's comic?
Yep. Let's do it.
This week's comic.
This week we read Assassination Classroom by Yusei Matsui. I think there's two squirrels fighting in my backyard. Or a cat and a squirrel? I don't know. I hear rustling and animal noises. It's like straight up right there next to my window.
That's very interesting, Andy.
Sorry. Totally distracted.
Can you do commentary on it?
Anyway, Assassination Classroom by Yusei Matsui. We read the first 7 issues, which were the collection that's in the first volume. Sorry, the first 7 chapters, mangas and chapters.
Oops.
And this was really fucking weird. Like the premise,
it was very weird.
The premise is that there's this being who has more or less destroyed the moon and has threatened to destroy Earth, but he has struck a deal, I guess just for shigs. So far as anybody can tell, he struck the deal for shigs. Shigs is short for shits and giggles. And the deal is that he will become a teacher in this classroom, and any of the students in this classroom can try to kill him. And if they ever succeed, then he will, of course, have been killed and will not destroy the Earth. But after 1 year, if none of the students in this classroom kill him, then he will destroy the Earth. And if anybody other than the people in that classroom try to destroy him, he will destroy the Earth. Like, he set it up so this is the premise. Like, it's all on him. And he's so fast and powerful that nobody really questions that this is the way it has to be. But, like, fucking why? Like, I still don't fucking get it. I read the first 7 chapters of this and the, like, little bonus 3-page half a chapter thing. And I've got fucking nothing. I have no idea what I just read.
It's definitely mindfucky, because it's just kind of like, what the hell is going on?
I mean, yeah. I want to know, like, they drop hints, right? Like, there's every once in a while they show him talking to some woman who was a teacher, I'm guessing, or something. And they drop hints that he's doing it kind of for her. And he actually is a good teacher. Like, he's apparently a smart guy, Koro-sensei. But, like, I want to know why, but I don't know if I want to read all the steps in between. Like, I just want to skip to the end of this year of class and get all the answers. It's kind of how I felt when we read Attack on Titan. Like, all of this is great, but what the fuck are these Titans, and why the fuck is the world this way? Like, just give me the answers. I'm not necessarily interested in them fighting Titans, although it's kind of cool, and I don't care about the individual people, but tell me why Titans. And I want to know why Koro-sensei. I don't really care about baseball. Like, the baseball loaded with the pellets. I don't know, whatever.
Well, all that's actually kind of important. Like, especially that baseball scene, because... Yeah, he's teaching them not just how to kill him, but about themselves, I guess, the cliche thing. Because, yeah, he picks the kid up, and he's like, yeah, you know, your arm, you know, you don't have the arm strength, but you do have this weird ability with your wrist and your elbows. We could be a better pitcher if you just went that way. And that's kind of the entire thing. He's like, that's a great way to try and kill me, but if you did this instead... you would have a much higher chance.
Right.
And that's kind of his teaching method. And it's weird, but it's effective.
I mean, that's his teaching method when they try to kill him and they fail. Right? And, like, through assassination, he teaches them life lessons.
Yeah.
And he also happens to be a good classroom teacher. But, like, my question is, why? Because he's so confident that none of them are ever going to kill him, he's just going to destroy the planet and they're all going to die anyway. So he's literally only doing this to fulfill a promise to someone. Right? Because, I mean...
You're just going to have to read all 180 chapters if you want to know that.
There's 180?
There's 180 chapters.
So it's like every other day of his life.
Yeah. It's 180 chapters, and then they have a little extra, quote-unquote, extra time, like what they did on their spring break or whatever at the end.
Of course. Is it over at 180? Like, is it done?
It's over. Okay. It's done. So it's a logical conclusion. It's just all this extra stuff is pretty much, we have a cash cow, we need to keep milking it, so let's make up something that he did during winter break.
Okay, so I'll start reading at issue 160.
Well, I don't know when all that stuff about becomes a teacher comes in. I don't remember. Yeah. Because there's 180 chapters, I don't remember which one is which.
Which isn't to say there's not some stuff that I am kind of interested in. Like the baseball one, like there's like Monster of the Week stories is what they're normally called. But these are like Assassination of the Week stories. The Assassination of the Week stuff, like them trying to stab him... or, like, Karma being a dick and killing an octopus. You know, like, that kind of stuff. All right, whatever. But at the end of Chapter 7, they introduce this, like, sexy character who is going to try and seduce Koro-sensei, I'm guessing? I don't know.
I was hoping to introduce her sooner, because she's probably one of the best characters in the show.
Okay, yeah, because Chapter 8 is titled Breast Time, and Chapter 9 is titled Adult Time.
Yep. And that's her. That's her, and she's hilarious.
Yeah, and I'm kind of want to see, like, he obviously can form personal attachments and personal bonds because he knows these individual students and he roots for them to become the individuals that he know that they can be. And he has this bond from somebody else that's making him fulfill this promise. So he can form relationships, and what's to say he can't, you know, get the little sexy tentacle time. And maybe that's how he gets assassinated.
He's still a teacher. He still genuinely cares. He's just gonna blow up the Earth.
But that's so fundamentally, like paradoxical in my head. Why would you give a shit? Okay, so what are the characters we have? We have Koro-sensei, whose face lights up different colors, but we can't tell because it's a manga. We have the main smart girl. I'm terrible with fucking names. Jen's usually the one who's good with names.
the issue, I think, that's with this thing is they've got about 30 students in the class, and they try to devote time to each of them throughout the manga, which is probably why it's 180 chapters. So, like, they kind of show a little bit about one of them. Like, the end of Chapter 7 was this girl who's good with, like, chemicals, and she's like, here, please drink this poison. It's, you know, you learn a little bit about her right then and there, and then they don't drop her but they kind of shove it to the background so that you can know more about this other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about him, and then they bring in this other girl, talk about her, and then it's just a little bit... Like, they do kind of settle on these are the main... Like, the main four or five students, main characters of the show. But they still need to devote time to everyone, so it does get off a little slow. Because you need to care about you need to care about the class in order to have an emotional attachment. It just seems that there's like a lot of them, way too many.
Yeah, a little bit. And I appreciate more when they weave in characters that kind of have a strong sense. I mean, Karma, the like dicky kind of kid.
Oh, the psycho kid, yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't like him, but I appreciate that he's a character who sticks and is trying to do something different. You know, because, like, the first chapter, they all just kind of, like, jump in with knives and machine guns. And it feels like most of them are just variations on that tactic. Like, what if we try shooting him faster or stabbing him harder? And it's like, no, motherfuckers, that is not going to work. You need to do something outside the box. And Karma is an asshole, but at least he's thinking outside the box, you know?
Well... He's actually brilliant. I mean, they go through great pains to say that he's really smart, and he is. It's just, he's also like, yeah, an asshole, but he does come up with these really incredibly creative techniques to kill him, like the knives in the hand, jumping off the cliff. He is really smart, and yeah, he is an asshole, and he's one of the main characters that they focus on throughout the thing. And they do kind of... Yeah, like in the beginning, we all just kind of stand up and shoot their guns, you know, rat-a-tat-tat.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
But as the manga goes on, they kind of... Each of them develops, I guess, their niche. Like the poison girl, she becomes really good with stuff like that. One of them gets good with explosives, etc., etc. It takes a while for that to develop.
And I also appreciate that, like, that Assassination of the Week theme kind of every once in a while will allow for some development of Koro-sensei. Like, I can't remember who did what, but it made him go, and there was a scene where he, like, went at Mach 20 or whatever he goes and bounce around the village to all of the parents' houses and grabs, like, the nameplates off the doors and brings them back.
Yeah, that was the grenade assassination.
Yeah, and he was like, "You try that chicken shit bullshit again, you fucking try it."
Mm-hmm.
Like that, legitimate. Like, okay, Koro Sensei set up this premise and set up this scenario, and he's playing along, and the students are doing their legitimate best, but he's basically, you know, Koro Sensei is just toying with him. But you get the sense that, like, he really does come unhinged in places, and he really is, like, it's that reminder every once in a while that this is not an empty threat, that he really is fucking psychotic, and he really will not hesitate to do this, you know? And it's like, this comic does a great job being, oh, haha, this is fun, this is wacky, this is crazy, but then you get to those moments, you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh yeah, it has those moments where it gets really dark, really serious, and sometimes really fast.
Yeah, and then it's like out of nowhere.
But like it can turn on a dime.
Yeah,
at some points.
And I have a feeling that the intelligence girl is going to be basically the one who kills him. Right. I mean, don't. If you've read it, don't spoil it.
Which one was that?
The girl who's, like, always just walking around with a notepad. Like, taking notes.
That's a boy.
That's a boy?
That's a boy.
Andy, that's a boy.
Man.
That's a boy.
I don't know.
But, yeah, why? Why are you going, man? Were you already looking up stuff about her?
No.
God, Andy.
Because I was always trying to find Rule 34. No, the only good Rule 34 here is of Koro Sensei and his tentacles. No,
Jesus Christ.
I have a feeling that kid, that child, that student is going to be the one who kills Koro Sensei, because that student, like, is the one who's seeing everybody's lesson and taking it to heart and writing it down and making the notes. And instead of, like, everybody's lesson with Koro-sensei is about how the student can enhance themselves. And the one taking all the notes is the one who's not looking at themselves, but who's looking at Koro-sensei and actually studying him. And not just in, like, the how many bullets should I fire kind of a way, but, like, where does Koro-sensei's personality break? What things, what situations does he get himself in where he might become more vulnerable because his reaction time is slowed down, because he's trying to be silly, because he's trying to look cool? Like, what situation can I put him in to actually make him vulnerable to, I don't know, fucking any normal attack? That's my guess.
That weakness notepad actually grows exponentially throughout the manga, and it's hilarious because half of it is serious stuff. Like, what was the one? Like, he can't move when his tentacles are tied up. When he let them, like, hit him like a pinata screwing up the flower bed.
Yeah.
But then half of them are the other one where he's really petty because the night after that he assigns some double homework.
Yeah. So what was your guys' favorite scenes? What stuff was memorable? What about you, David?
My favorite scene...
Or what scene sticks out in your mind? I would say character, but I don't remember anybody's name, so...
So you would be able to answer the question?
So if you tell me a name, I'd be like, okay, I don't know who the fuck that was.
Oh, let me think. What's my favorite scene? I don't know, the show... This thing was just so wacky.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit already, but I thought the baseball one, that was actually a pretty good idea. Like, of all the ideas, I think that was the best, most creative, I guess you could say. So that stuck out in my mind. I'm going to go with the baseball scene, actually.
All right. What about you, Al?
Probably the scene where he gets pissed off when the grenade explodes, in the kids, when they run around the neck. Because that's actually a huge thing where he's, like, super serious about his students, despite the fact he's going to kill everyone. And that sticks out because... Basically, one of the main themes of the manga is don't fuck with the students. And that's kind of like a big stamp right there of how serious he is about that shit.
Yeah. For me, I would have to say it's... I was thinking when Karma jumps off the cliff, but like, okay, come on, let's be realistic. This guy is so fast, he can probably just do both or whatever. Like, I can't imagine Karma setting up a catch-22 that would actually ensnare Koro-sensei. But what I actually really liked was Koro-sensei mentoring the poison girl and being like, go make this formula, that'll be sure to try and kill me. And then she comes back, and he's like, you fucking tool. You just gave me superpowers. I like it.
Well, the best part is he turns that into, like, some sort of teaching moment, because before then, she tells him, like, she's only really good at science.
Yeah.
Because, like, something about, like, she's all about concrete things, and formulas are concrete. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, well, yeah, you really need to get good at stuff like language, so you don't just walk up to someone and say, please drink this poison.
And then you don't get fucking... taken advantage of either, because you understand that I'm trying to take advantage of you. I just like how he's like, you fucking idiot.
He even straight up asks the boy girl, like, what would you have done? He's like, well, I probably would have said, here's a drink, you know, please have it.
As I opposed love that to just nickname that character the boy girl. That's all my fault.
No, like, it's intentional. You learn most of their backstories throughout the thing, and it's intentional that he dresses like a girl. Or looks like one, I should say.
So he does look like... I mean, it's not just me that is gender-confused with this character, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Like,
Okay, thank
you. His backstory is somewhere in those 200 chapters.
All right.
But that's an intentional thing.
Okay. I'm going to have to go through and find that then. Not that the boy-girl stuff, but I part of me wants to keep reading this, but part of me is also like... I want to read the stuff that matters for the main story in Kura-sensei, and I don't want to read, like, I don't want to read the stuff where it's, like, PE class or bit. Like, I know I keep bringing up the baseball one as an example, but the baseball one really was Assassination of the Week. There was not much in that chapter that progressed the story significantly, other than the fact that it was a second chapter and it gives you a baseline. It helps establish a baseline for Kura-sensei's personality and how he interacts with these students on a personal level. Because the first chapter is pretty much just the premise. And it's showing Kura-sensei, and it shows the classroom, and it shows the setup for the manga. But the second chapter with the baseball one, it's there and it's useful because it does a function for the story and for the reader. But in terms of, like, advancing plot, it doesn't. So that's why I keep bringing that one up. But if there's, like, if chapters, like, 10 through 12 are chapters like that baseball one, you've established the story. I don't want to read those anymore. Like, chapter 4, when they, like, have gym class, you know? All right. That's cool. And chapter 7, the poison one. The poison one was kind of funny, but it doesn't really advance the main storyline. So I want to know what happens, and I want to read the main storyline, but I want to skip those. But I have no idea why I care about this, because he's just going to fucking blow up the planet anyway.
Maybe he won't.
No, I honestly believe he will.
Well, I'm not sure.
Go ahead, Alex.
No, you. Go.
Fine, then.
You're the guest.
I'm trying to think, and I can't remember a lot of filler stuff like you're talking, Andy.
Okay.
And even when it is filler, there is kind of a point to it. Like you're crapping on the baseball scene a lot.
I'm not crapping on it. I'm using it as an example.
You are totally crapping as an example of how boring this shit is. What he's doing is he's telling this kid, like, look, you do this, you'll be a better baseball player. And it's by itself, it's shitty. It might be shitty and boring, but when you take it along with everything, like the poison girl, you know, it builds the world, it builds the character. It's like, yeah, he's gonna blow up the fucking world, but he's still gonna be a teacher. otherwise, if he wasn't gonna try and be a teacher, he could literally just sit in Antarctica. You know, drink some beer, pass out, and then explode or something. Fuck, I don't know what he's gonna do.
Right. And the only reason he doesn't is because he's made a promise to the woman that we see in the flashback memory.
Shadow Girl.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, he would destroy it all. And I don't.
But then why would he keep the promise? If he's gonna blow this shit up, he's like, yeah, you're nice, whatever. I'm going to Rio for the next 9 months.
I mean, I guess he must, I don't know, love her or feel indebted to her or see her as a mentor who he respects and wants to fulfill her wishes for some reason. And she might have said something like, oh, you'd be a great teacher. I don't know. I don't know. I'm so conflicted on this comic because this... We started this arc of 4 episodes, and I think we're ending it on a good one, because the theme with you here, Rage, was supposed to be, oh, fucking Japan, of course. And this is, like, the most Japanese manga I think I've ever read. Like, we had the discussion in Aria about how Aria was slice of life, and that's a really unique genre, you know, and we did One Punch Man, but One Punch Man, I mean, it's the over-the-top kind of thing, just like Kill la Kill, like, that cranked up to 11... thing that is really tough to pull off for a primary audience here in the United States. But Assassination Classroom, like, this is way too far gone for the American audience. Like, way too far gone. There's no way this ever goes anywhere near mainstream in the United States. And, I mean, it'll be popular enough that, you know, fucking nerds like us can read it. But this is the kind of thing that would only originate in Japan. Aside from their fascination with like high school and the classroom, which this totally goes into too, but like the aliens and the fact that he's got like tentacles and the wackiness and the silliness, and it's just this has to be the most Japanese thing I've ever read that wasn't hentai. Like, there's some hentai out there that's super Japanese. This is really Japanese, too.
Well, I don't, man. He's got tentacles. I could easily cross that threshold at any time.
I'm that's what I'm thinking happens in chapters 8 and 9 that are titled Breast Time and Adult Time. And so I kind of
want to read them to find out, Andy.
I kind of want to read them, and I kind of really don't.
I'm telling you right now, those two chapters introduce probably one of the best characters in the whole show.
Okay. I'll try them out. The good thing
you
is
you should keep going.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay.
I'll keep going too.
Yeah, you guys should keep going with this one. It's a good one.
The thing is.
Oh, go ahead, Andy.
No, you go.
No, go ahead.
No, you go.
No. Okay, I'll go. I read what I was supposed to for the episode, and I still am not sure what to make of this manga. It's just so strange. Like, I was entertained, but I don't know if I like it. It's kind of one of those things. So I'm just not sure. It's just so, I don't know how else to put it. I'm trying to think of a better way to say it than it's strange. Because I don't know if I necessarily, I feel like I'm going to get to the end, and he's going to be like, just kidding, you all learned valuable life lessons, now go make the world a better place or something. Part of me thinks that that's legitimately how it's going to end.
No, I think that's the only thing that kind of stalls me with this manga is, like, you can almost, after this first volume, you can almost call it that what's going to happen is this class is going to learn to endear themselves on him, and he's going to feel indebted to them the same way he feels indebted, mentored, whatever. He's going to realize that his relationship to the woman that's like the relationship in the woman in that flashback, that shadow woman, he's going to realize that relationship is similar to the one that he has now with these children, and he's going to respect that relationship that he's grown and see it as him growing in a way that he didn't expect to, and so he decides not to destroy the earth. And I don't know how that gets resolved, but like I just see like that heartwarming bullshit coming up, and like part of me right, part of me expects it, and part of me is like, okay, but then what, that resolution is not satisfactory for this world, right? Like, you see that tropey ending, but then it's like, okay, except this guy is still all-powerful and still alive and still threatened the entire world and all of the world leaders, and that won't just fly because he learned a lesson. Like they won't forget that won't fly. And these kids would then become world-class assassins, and they're not just going to go to fucking high school after this, you know? So there's obviously,
maybe we'll go to assassination college.
There's obviously, like, that trope is falling into place perfectly in this manga, but it has to break somewhere in order for this story to resolve somehow along the line. And I don't know if that means that he actually does pull the trigger and blow everyone up because he can't figure it out, or he takes these kids and does something with them. Like, there's something here that has to break, but You can see the quasi heartwarming ending coming. I think you can. And I don't know. Yeah. Right.
I can see it.
Because how do you go a whole year teaching these kids valuable life lessons and then just fucking kill them? Like, I get he's supposed to be a complete psychopath, but I think he has misestimated his own emotional stonewall ability. Like, he went into this because of the promise he kept, and he just wants to be a good teacher, and he's going to be a good teacher to the best of his abilities and then kill them all. And I don't think that in the end he's going to be able to do it, or that I don't know. That's what's going to happen. That's my guess. I'll have to actually read it, I suppose.
It gets a lot better, I would say, after somewhere in the late second volume, because all this is world building again.
Yeah.
Once you start getting into arcs, that last, you know, 5 or 6 chapters, and you actually start seeing the class being taught, I guess, so to speak, mm-hmm. and what's going on, and how he mixes, how the assassinations get mixed with their lessons, with, you know, with what's going on in the world. It's, and you learn, and you learn also about the school, about where they are. Once the world building is kind of more or less in place, they get to focus on more of that stuff, and that's when it really gets good.
And I mean, you need this comic still needs to develop a real protagonist and a real antagonist. Like, you're kind of rooting for the kids in the classroom, but Koro-sensei is also kind of fucking adorable, and you kind of root for Koro-sensei. And you get the sense that the government guys are the bad guys, because they say that, like, they know all of his stuff. They know that these weapons will definitely kill this guy. Like, you get the sense that they developed this kid in the lab. Like, they built Koro-sensei, and he decided that was fucked up and wanted to kill everything, right? Like, you get the sense that the world leaders have brought this upon themselves. But they're not set up as the villains yet. This is kind of, like, lightly hinted. Maybe it's kind of their fault, and you don't know all those details. So there's not really, like, there's no villain. There's no, like you're saying, like, arc. There's nothing that we've seen so far in this first chapter that can carry an arc more than, like, 2 or 3 issues. Like, Karma shows up, and that kind of carries 2 issues. It's just a new kid in the classroom. But, like you're saying, they only can add so many kids to the classroom. Eventually, they just have to work with what's there and give this Koro-sensei an actual story arc of his own and having to deal with something. Boom. What did you guys think of the art in this? I wish it was in color, because they talk about the color of his face, and then it's in grayscale.
Have you ever read manga before, Andy?
Yeah, I have. I know. But, like, okay, they talk about the color of his face, and then sometimes his face is striped, and sometimes it has an X. And I'm like, why even go to saying his face gets green? Why not just make it all shapes? Like, why even do that? Just make it all shapes.
Because there's only so many shapes, Andy.
Because they want you to use your imagination.
No, I can't.
Yeah, and be an active reader. It's on TV.
Maybe I'll just watch the anime.
Is there an anime?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched the anime. So I watched a couple episodes. It's good, I guess. But I'm more of a manga. I'm more of a manga guy. So I can't tell you that the anime is, like, better or worse, because I'm obviously slanted towards the comics.
Alright.
Yeah, I don't know. The art was good, it was fun, it did a really good job of showing the action. I don't know. I'm not that good of a connoisseur of manga art. To me, a lot of manga art looks kind of the same, and this kind of looks just like, hey, it's a manga. So I don't really have much to comment on with the art here. It's not, I think, like, it's the not job like a done. Unique style.
Yeah. I think it gets the job done, but you're not going to put these up in some sort of award ceremony thing. Yeah,
especially not after reading Aria. Like, like, we read Aria 2 weeks ago now, and all manga art looks inferior.
You should see her new one that she has on. It's almost better.
Okay. Well, you guys want to rate this one?
Yeah.
All right. How about you go first, Alex?
I give it a 4. It obviously kept me engaged long enough to read the entire thing.
To read 180 episodes or issues?
Yeah, I read the entire thing, and it gets better, I promise you. Once they finish this world stuff, and they introduce, like, most of the characters, because obviously they still drop a few as the story goes on, it gets really good, because then you can start focusing, they start focusing on the class and their interactions, rather than saying, hey, look, here's a guy who does, you know, sports and kills people with sports.
Why are you shitting on the baseball issue?
it gets really good. It becomes more than that monster of the week that you referenced.
All right, I'm gonna give it a. I don't even know what the fuck to give it. Like, we just talked about it for like 30 or 40 minutes. I still have no fucking clue what the hell I think of this
just
thing.
Pick a number.
3.25 I don't.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah. Cool. I just. Two and a half. Well, I'll go back to the baseline. 2.5 is average. A 2.5 comic is just. It's neither good nor bad. And anything above that means you enjoyed it. Anything below that means you didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed this comic. I feel like this was an above average manga. Like, we've read average manga for the show before. I was just going through and redoing the list for the archive and reformatting the table. And in our first manga arc, we read Priest, and I have no fucking clue what anything happened in Priest was. I remember nothing about the Priest manga. So Priest is obviously below average. This is above average here, but beyond that, I have no fucking clue. I have no fucking clue what to think of this.
Priest about vampires? I forget.
Was it? Probably. I mean, Priest would be, yeah. Vampires or something undead, if you're a priest. I don't know. Or demonic? No, not demons. That's Constantine.
Anyway.
So this feels better than average, because I was at least entertained. I mean, I read all 7 pretty quickly. They're quick reads. They're fun to read. But I still have no idea what the fuck is going on. So, 3.25. We usually only do halves, but I am completely conflicted and clueless. David?
I'm going to give this a 3. Because, like I said before, I enjoyed it. I was entertained, but I don't know what to make of it. It was pretty fucking weird, but in an entertaining way.
I love this is like both of our professional analysis. The fuck is this thing?
I feel like it doesn't have some kind of deeper meaning, or we're just completely fucking missing it.
I don't think it does, or at least not yet, and I don't think it's even trying to.
And things don't have to have a deeper meaning, you know. Everything doesn't have to be capital L literature.
No. Some stuff can be.
So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3. Say this. I'm gonna give it a 3, but I'm also gonna read more of it.
Okay.
Definitely. Like right now, I'll probably start reading some more.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have a meeting I'm gonna be in tomorrow, and I'll be sitting there with my laptop open, so I can read a chapter. Yeah.
You're so responsible.
We can read more of this tomorrow. Or right now.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it this week to discuss this with everyone, but I don't know if that would even impact my rating. I really like Assassination Classroom. I've watched the first season and a half of the anime, and the manga did not disappoint. I'm going to go ahead and give this one a 4. I think that the art was pretty solid, and I really liked that it told short snippets of stories that showed you who the characters were. Koro-sensei was equally goofy and funny, and I was actually quite surprised by how funny the manga was. Usually I find things more entertaining when I watch them instead of read them if they're comedy, but I thought this worked out really well. The only reason that I would not give this a 5 is because I don't think it was particularly developed in terms of a main story for one volume. I know that this is a slower moving series, which is going to affect that, and it's more about, I guess, one-shot laughs and slowly showing you who each of the characters are. But at the same time, I don't know if that's going to be engaging enough to get all readers hooked, especially if you don't have an anime to binge watch to supplement this and really show you where the story starts to go and how in-depth the characters can be. Because aside from the fact that Koro-sensei is a good teacher, we don't actually see that much about any given character. And for that reason, I can't give it 5 stars, but it definitely deserves a solid 4, and I am happy we read it.
Okay. That's it for this week's comic. Alex, thanks for joining us for the last four episodes.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome, my motherfucker.
You're welcome, friend.
It's good having you on. We'll bring you back again next time we read something fucking weird.
I'll find some more weird shit.
Okay, fantastic. Next week we're going to start, I know it's like April heading into May already, but next week we're going to finally start our best of 2015. Like at the beginning,
oh my god.
at the beginning of every calendar year, we usually read a best of from the previous year, but I had a kid and we had some guest hosts lined up and I wanted to get those done before we did that, and I didn't realize that I had overbooked guest hosts, and so now we're like rolling into May. We're finally getting to do the best of last year. But there was some good stuff last year, and I want to talk about for the show. So we're going to actually do three sets of best of. We're going to do, what is that? We're going to do 10 episodes for our whole best of, and we're going to start out with three episodes that are the best of DC from last year, because there were three that really, really good DC ones, and then we're going to roll into the best of Marvel, and then the best of everything else. Which I called the rest of 2015. And then there's actually another one after that, just with other random things that are also really good. So I guess maybe 14 episodes for the best of. I have no idea.
We're just going to read a bunch of comics.
We're going to read and they're all going to be really good. So go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, there's a button that says future shows. Click on that. We have like all of the next 16 episodes planned out. So you can see what we have coming up. Read along. Order some comics, enjoy some good stuff. This is all best of last year, so presumably any one of these that you decide to buy, you won't regret. So next week we're going to read Midnighter Out, written by Steve Orlando. We're going to follow that up with The Omega Men, and then the Batgirl of Burnside. Midnighter Out, I have no idea what it's about other than a gay guy. The Omega Men, I have no clue.
I read the first couple episodes of Midnighter. It's pretty good.
Yeah? Okay. And then Omega Man starts with... Omega Man has Kyle Rayner in it, which is kind of cool. I know nothing about these.
You're like, I don't know what Midnighter's about, except it's a gay guy. Come on, Andy.
What I know, because it says out, and it's about an out and gay superhero, and that's kind of cool and important, and that's why it's probably on the best of last year. The Omega Man's supposed to be weird and cool, so we're going to read that. And then Batgirl Burnside is a mid-run reboot of it. So Batgirl Burnside starts at issue 35, but it's a total reboot of a character of Barbara Gordon. Like they take Barbara Gordon and reverse her age back to college, and I don't know, it's fun and supposed to be kooky and weird and cool. So we're going to read those three coming up. So next one is Midnighter Out. It's written by Steve Orlando, collects the first seven issues, and that'll be fun to read because it's about a gay guy. Literally all I know about it. And he looks psychotic as hell on the cover, which is kind of...
Do you know
neat.
Anything about Midnighter? Do you know like who he is or anything?
No,
Andy?
I have no fucking clue. He looks psychotic on the cover, and apparently he's gay. That's literally all I know.
Okay.
So that's next week, everybody. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.